There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed.
I think we got a heck of a shot of winning. We beat anybody in the world, and I think we're going to win next Sunday.
Eli Manning stays on his feet, airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
For all you non-believers, disrespect us. Talk crap about the defense like we ain't the third best defense in the league.
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Fitzpatrick. End zone. Eric Decker holds it in. The Jets win in overtime.
And the New York Giants, given last rites by many in December, are the Super Bowl champs in February.
This is NFL Friday. Going long on all news, reaction, and game picks for the Giants, Jets, and across the NFL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome into NFL Friday here from the lovely Rose Hill Studio on the campus of Fordham University. It is a chilly, chilly Thursday afternoon, now almost evening in the Bronx. It's NFL Friday. I'm Griffin Stevenson, joined by my co-hosts Grace McCarron and Trey Rodriguez. We got a good slate lined up for you guys. We're going to be talking about Week 10, recapping some of those games, looking at the Bengals and the Ravens, the Giants and the Panthers in Germany, a little shambolic game that was. You got the Jets getting absolutely dismantled on the road in Arizona, and then, of course, the Sunday Night Football thriller between the Lions and the Texans. Then we'll preview a couple of Week 11 matches, a lot of rivalries. Starting off with tonight's game, we have the Commanders heading to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. My Seahawks are going to play in San Francisco, taking on the 49ers. Got probably the most anticipated matchup of the whole week in the Ravens and the Steelers. And then, of course, seemingly an all-timer every time these two teams play, it'll be the Chiefs and the Bills. Before we get into all of that, and before we get started with the recaps, Grace, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, other than the fact that the Giants are just not a competitive football team anymore. Pretty good. They have the bye this week, so hopefully they can regroup a little. They definitely need it, but I'm doing good overall.
Trey, how about you?
You guys are lucky you have the bye. I wish the Jaguars had the bye this week. I can't go through another Sunday of watching this, but yeah, I'm excited to start talking some football, but yeah, it's also nice too. November weather is finally around.
Yeah.
Actually feels like the fall for once.
Yeah, it's a little too cold if you ask me. Starting off with, man, these AFC North matchups seemingly are always just must-watch television. Last week, Thursday Night Football, it was the Ravens and the Bengals. The Bengals once again lose another close one despite a Joe Burrow dominant performance. They lose 34-35 in Baltimore. Ravens move to 7-3. The Bengals fall to 4-6 as they hunt for a playoff spot. Joe Burrow, 428 yards, 4 touchdowns. But I think the star of the show was Ja'Marr Chase. If you're playing him in fantasy football this week, which I was, it was a wash. 11 receptions, 264 yards, 3 touchdowns. In my league, it was 57 fantasy points, I want to say. An absolutely dominant performance, but they can't get it done. And it seems like the story, once again, with this Bengals team, is their defense is just atrocious and not on the level of a team that wants to be competitive in the NFL. Grace, I'll start with you. I mean, Bengals playoffs aren't necessarily out of the picture. Speak maybe on what this loss means for them, and then if you want, how good of a win this is for the Ravens.
Well, they're definitely not out of reach of the playoffs. Their record is lackluster, but it is getting late early. Like, as they say, we are in week 10 at this point, so we're starting to get to that point where you have to look at, are they still within playoff reach? But, I mean, certainly you have to give credit to the Ravens' offense, especially in the last 23 minutes. I thought this was super interesting. Lamar Jackson, 3 touchdowns with a perfect passer rating in the last 23 minutes. The Bengals' defense just collapses in the last 23 minutes. So you gotta finish the football game. They always say that. And it's tough because, like, you could say the Bengals, oh, you know, Joe Burrow was good, Ja'Marr Chase was awesome. Like, you could say that they deserve to win that game, but the Ravens, I don't want to say wanted it more, but they got it. So.
Yeah, I mean, also, Trey, before you go in, preface two, they decided to go for it on two. We saw the Buccaneers not do that at on the road against the Chiefs, and people were kind of clowning them for that decision. So they decided to do it on the road in Baltimore. They don't get it. Honestly, two fouls on the play, holding on a tight end, a face mask on Joe Burrow. So, I mean, I don't know. Trey, your thoughts?
Honestly, I'm always a fan whenever it comes to the two-point conversion because I think the way the Bengals were playing, the Ravens were had all momentum going into latter half of the game. I think it made sense to go for the two-point conversion, and those penalties that should have been called were not called. So that kind of messed them up. But I think really besides that, I mean, Joe Burrow's been playing so great this season, and how much more does he have to do for this team to win, you know? Like, this defense is terrible, and they're not out of the playoffs yet, but I don't really have any hope for them doing anything in the playoffs if they do make it. I don't think they're going to make it, but something really needs to change here. I think they need to do a complete defensive overhaul.
Yeah, definitely defense, especially now you have Joe Burrow on a long contract. You're trying to get Jamar Chase on a long contract. If I'm them, I'm saying let's figure out this defensive issues. If they want to make the playoffs, I think I agree. I think we can all agree. If they do, their defense isn't good enough to go for a playoff run, especially in the AFC. Moving on to two teams that are definitely not making the playoffs and at this point are just kind of competing for bragging rights. Sorry, Grace. But the New York Giants lose 17-20 in Germany against the Carolina Panthers. To the German NFL fans, if any of you guys are listening, I'm sorry that this was not the best the NFL has to offer. It was a painful. Again, Carolina gets ahead early. The Giants muster a comeback, send it to overtime, and then Bryce Young leads his first game-winning drive. It's technically game-winning because they got the field goal. Pinero knocks it in from 36 yards to seal it for the Panthers as they move to 3-7, and the Giants fall to 2-8. And now I think, I mean, obviously you have the fumble at the end of the game with Tracy. I think, honestly, there's some Giants fans that are like, thank you.
Yeah.
It solidifies the tag. I mean, Grace, you could speak on that, but Daniel Jones, 190 yards, two interceptions, 22 for 37 passing. I think this might be the last game that Daniel Jones ever plays in a Giants uniform, excuse me. And I think it might be the last game he ever plays in a uniform.
Wow. That's interesting.
That's an interesting take.
Yeah. I mean, okay, I'm never a fan of tanking. Like, I'm always, I want to see the team win. Because let's take this season, for example. Week in, week out, seeing the Giants just crumble every week, it's pretty sad. Like, I don't enjoy that at all. And I understand, you want the number... I mean, at this point, you're looking at the number one pick. You want the number one or the number two to get a new quarterback, and that's fine. If it falls that way, I'll be happy, and they're going to need to take a quarterback. But I never root for them to lose, so this one was pretty bad. So... I mean, two interceptions from DJ with the Giants at or around the red zone is pretty telling, and it's their fifth straight loss. I don't really know if there's much else to say. So,
and you got the Giants part done pretty good, but I think for the Panthers, Hubbard's been great for Bryce. It takes a lot of pressure off him. He's just the past two games he's been playing great. I think he's had 163 yards, one or two touchdowns last game. So he's been playing great. Bryce, whatever, he had himself a whatever game, he threw 120 yards or something, but he still came out with a win. That was two wins in a row. That's a great way to just keep on building the confidence. Whenever Bryce smiles, man, I smile. he's been so sad. He looks so sad every time he steps on the field, and now he looks so happy. So it's nice to see that happen.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, honestly, that it's just he's just almost, it's rooting for almost a little kid or something like that to do well. I mean, Grace, before I move on, do you go to then if it's not Daniel Jones? I mean, Locktober was last month. Do you go to Drew Lock or do you? I mean, I kind of have to.
I think you have to because, I mean, none of those players want to tank. They don't want to purposefully lose. And the locker room is going to feel it. They're going to feel like we can't trust Daniel Jones to make the plays anymore. So. You got to give them the best chance to win. And we've seen so far, I mean, the Panthers are not a good football team. Obviously. It's not like they just lost to the Chiefs. But you got to give them the best chance to win. at least like spark a little something in the locker room. Like if Drew Lock happens to have a good game their next week against the Bucks, like I don't think they're gonna win that game. But if he happens to have a decent game, maybe that would get something going. I don't know. I think they gotta change. Like it's too much. It's been 6 years of this. Like I'm tired. I'm so tired, you guys.
Yeah. At least you guys paid him, and now you're gonna have to pay him what $40 million, $35 million at the end of
correct.
The year to cut him loose. Oh. You know what? Honestly, the reason you can't play him isn't even because of how he's actually playing. It's because, God forbid, he gets hurt.
Yep.
And then
exactly.
you guys have to pay out the rest of his contract. Like that is
you can't have that.
Like
happen.
You would rather start Tommy DeVito every week.
Tommy Cutlets.
Yeah, Tommy Cutlets. than do that because I mean honestly, the way the NFL's going, it's not surprised. People are popping Achilles, ACLs, all over the place. I don't know. But I think if that happens, the Giants are officially cursed. But the other New York football team that is, I do fully believe, cursed or just, I mean, they're a horribly run organization. And you
Absolutely.
See it when players leave. New York Jets get absolutely clobbered on the road in Arizona, 31-6. They moved to 3-7 on the year. The Cardinals moved to 6-4. Kyler Murray, 22 from 24. When throwing 95 or 96 QBR. Amazing game. Kyler Murray at this point, I think a lot of people are impressed with how he's started the season, or how he's, it's now midway through the season, but how he's started and continued to play well and surpass expectations this year. And he's starting to get guys involved more. I think a lot of people, including myself, are a little disappointed in how Marvin Harrison's been being utilized and how much he's been able to kind of express or show off his abilities. Got a touchdown last week, so he's starting to get back in the rhythm because it's all about trust. Rodgers doesn't seem to trust anyone, and Breece Hall's not really getting involved. Braylon Allen, they're running back by committee thing. It's fine, I guess. Devontae Adams,
he's just been all right.
Yeah, he's been all right. Garrett Wilson had a great game the week before that. He's been okay. Rodgers keeps getting sacked. He has, honestly, the opposite of whatever pocket presence is, I feel like. I don't... It's a blame game. And the same thing, I mean, what do you do? Because, Trey, I'll start with you for this one. Like, is this like... You trade for Devontae Adams. You have a really talented team. Honestly, I'll eat my words. At the beginning of the year, I was saying that I think the Jets are like a dark horse Super Bowl contender because on paper,
I was too.
They improved their offensive line, which is their biggest weakness. They have a, by all accounts, pretty good defense that has played well for most of the year. It's been an offensive issue. This game was a little bit different, but what do you do?
I don't think you can run it back with this roster. I mean, it's clearly not working. It sucks too because it's stacked with talent. There's so much like good. There's so many good players on this team, and the offensive line really isn't even that terrible anymore. Like it's so much better than what it used to be, but it's still not defending it. It's still not great, but this team just doesn't mesh well at all together. Like Rodgers is so old now. He's just like. He's just tainting his legacy, you know? I think I saw this, that he's tied the record now for, like, most games about 300 yards in a row. And that's, like, that's just not Aaron Rodgers, you know? No. Guy should have just ran for president instead. but really, like, and now you have all this young talent, like Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson's being wasted. I wouldn't be surprised if they demand a trade in within a year or something because they're not being – they're just wasting their young years over there, you know? It's, like, I honestly feel like if I compare them to anything, it's, like, you got a team with a bunch of superstars on them, a bunch of older ones, too, with Aaron Rodgers and Devontae. It feels like just like the Lakers of the NFL, you know? Like, they have all this hype around the beginning of the season, and then they just go out there and do absolutely nothing. I just think after this season, I know a lot of these players still got time left under contract, but you really got to think about trading and trying to blow this up because this is not working.
Yeah. I also, like... I mean, I don't know this for certain, but like the locker room and for the Jets can't really be that great either. They fired Saleh, who seemed to be well liked.
Yeah, they like Saleh.
They all liked Saleh. That probably didn't really help the vibe in there. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, like he's probably not happy with how. I mean, this is like the end of his career that we're witnessing. Like, it's either probably. I mean, I think he said he wants to come back next year, so probably next year is his last, or maybe another one. But like, we're watching the twilight of his career, and it's going to end like this. And this was supposed to be the year for the Jets. Like, it's actually really sad when you think about it. I'm actually glad this isn't happening to me. I mean, the Giants are 2-8, so it's not much better on my end. But like, it's tough to watch when it's like supposed to be the year and everything's just falling apart, and you can't even really put a finger on why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, right now they have the 8th pick in the draft.
Yeah.
You have some decent young guys. I mean, Sauce Gardner's having kind of an off year as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's not playing as well as he could.
He's playing all right.
I mean, I think you have to go with a quarterback and just stick with it, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Like,
sorry,
what the Falcons did this year with Penix, I feel like that would actually be a good choice, because Rodgers only has like 1 year left, you know? Like,
yeah.
Prepare for the future.
Yeah, no.
I actually like that.
I do too. I just, because you need a good, like, I think that is a good transition into the next and final game that we're going to recap from week 10, which is the Lions and the Texans. But those are both teams that have solid, solid quarterbacks that each franchise can feel confident and proud of. And that's what you need if you're going to be successful in the league. And it's apparent because, I mean, Chiefs 9-0. Patrick Mahomes, you have Bills, Josh Allen, whether it's even the Niners and a guy like Brock Purdy, you have to have a good quarterback if you're going to be successful. You can't do this without that. But the Lions on Sunday night, the Lions were down 23-7 at halftime, and they come back to win 26-23 with a last-minute field goal. The Texans don't score any points in the second half. Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions. Like, if you're the Texans, you cannot lose this game. I mean, Lions, good teams find a way to win bad games, and yep. I can't think of a worse game than this, and I'm really high on the Lions this season, but man, this is a bad, bad loss for Texas on national television, and I think what it boils down to, granted, they are missing some players, and they're getting those guys back, and Nico Collins will be back, and that'll help things out a little bit, but their O-line is just atrocious. Mm-hmm. Like, CJ Stroud has absolutely no time, and I don't get how you can be successful when, as a quarterback, you're constantly in fear of making sure you get the ball out in time. Grace, one takeaway you have from both teams in this one, and just your thoughts on just an absolutely ridiculous way to lose a football game.
Yeah, well, CJ Stroud took the responsibility for the loss after the fact. He said, this one's on the offense, and like, that's, you know, I'm captain the offense, this one's on me. Houston's been outscored by 59 points in the second half this season, which is 31st in the league. It's pretty bleak.
Oof.
for a team that's very, like, the Texans are a good football team. This is not to be like, you know, it's not the Jets we're talking about, but yikes. It's a brutal one. It's a little demoralizing. That said, the Lions are a very, very good football team.
I could talk all day about how much I don't like the Texans, but it's a strange situation where you have, last year the Texans' O-line really wasn't that bad. They were pretty decent, and now this year it is like a little turn. It's like a turnstile. Like, they just go right through and they sack them. Stroud also too. I don't think this season, even when they had Nico Collins and stuff, having Nico Collins would be great for him. That's his favorite wide receiver. And once you get that deep threat back, that'll be such a good situation for Stroud. I think that's what he's been missing for the past few weeks. But this is gonna let my bias show through. I mean Stroud has definitely had a bit of a sophomore slump this season. He has not looked as impressive as he has in his freshman year, but obviously he's still a great quarterback. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think that not being able to score at all in that second half is inexcusable. And you have five turnovers, and like, yet you have 5 turnovers, and you only really score 23 points with those 5 turnovers, including your own possessions too. Like, more has to come out of that. You know, the defense did their job. Offense has to finish it.
And also, just before we move on, great job by the Lions defense as well.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Sticking it, keep it. Like, I saw Dan Campbell after the game. He was like, "This huge defensive performance. This one." All the credit goes to them, and it's true, because being down 23-7 can be very demoralizing, and to go out there and still be working and getting those turnovers is huge, and we saw it pay dividends for the Lions. But that'll wrap up our Week 10 slate of games. Moving on now to the Week 11 preview. It's almost like in college football where you got like Week 18 or not Week 18, but Week 11, I think it is, like rivalry week, rivalry weekend. That's what this slate of games is looking like in the NFL. Starting with tonight's matchup, it's Thursday Night Football. It's the 7-3 Commanders taking on the 7-2 Philadelphia Eagles at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. Commanders coming off of, honestly, a very, very, like, I think, not heartbreaking, but annoying loss, I think, if you're a Commanders fan. Obviously, you lose 28-27, lose by one at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you make the costly error of jumping off sides when it's obvious that they're going to hard count you. I think that's something that I take away, whereas the Eagles are coming off of a very, very, very easy 34-6 win at the Dallas Cowboys, where not only was everything going their way, they even had the son of AT&T Stadium on their side. But this is a big one. The two best teams in the NFC East, Cowboys and Giants, are out of it. Sorry to rub it in again, but I was talking to my friend who's a Commanders fan, and he says, I feel good that the Commanders can win the division. I just think he just thinks they need to split the series with the Eagles. Yeah. And I agree. I guess my question is, Jaden Daniels, rookie quarterback on the road in Philadelphia, big divisional matchup. Saquon Barkley's playing at the top of his game, but so are guys like Terry McLaurin for the Commanders. Is this a must-win game for the Commanders? Trey, I'll start with you.
I mean, I don't think it's a must-win. I think this timeline for them is getting pushed pretty far ahead. Like, this team was really came in with no expectations. They're totally outperforming every expectation that was put on them. So, I think if they want to get first in the division, I think it is a must-win game. I still think they can make the playoffs if they don't get first in the division. But in that case it is, but it's also not too. I think that they have to approach this in an interesting way, because you got the Eagles' defense is absolutely elite, and you got a rookie quarterback going against a very good Eagles defense, and you got to hope that this is not a game that he's gonna kind of show where his rookie weaknesses are. I really hope he doesn't. I don't like the Eagles at all. I really want them to win, but I don't know. I don't think they're gonna win this, even though it is kind of an important game for them.
Yeah, I mean, Jaden Daniels, he's been fantastic this season, but since the Week 7 rib injuries, completion percentage is a little bit down. He didn't play well in the loss against the Steelers. But, I mean, both are really good running teams. You were mentioning, Trey, the rushing defense for Philly is top five. Really fantastic. I mean, I have to take the Eagles here, too. I think the Commanders, first of all, going into Philly is tough. The Commanders are just not at the point yet where they can contend with. I think the Eagles are probably going to win the division, but the Commanders are going to make the playoffs. They're a very good team. It's just the Eagles are a tad better than they are.
Yeah,
and like recent news, I believe Devonta Smith should be starting, and he was a player that was questionable going into this one, and that is big. That is big. Moving on now, and I don't even want to talk about this game as a Seahawks fan. Seahawks head to San Francisco taking the 49ers. The Seahawks, right now, they are currently 4-5. They started off 3-0. Since then, it's been 1-5. The 49ers now are 5-4. The Cardinals lead the division. I think I'll speak on this as a Seahawks fan. I think if they win this game, listen, the only way any team out of the NFC West is going to make the playoffs is by winning the division. Yep. We talked about how good some teams in the AFC North are, and how good, like you said, you have either the Commanders or the Eagles. Whoever doesn't win that division is probably going to make the playoffs still. You're not going to make it out of the wild card with the records they have now, unless someone goes on like a crazy run and just wins out. You got to make it out of the division. It gives me shades of the like Beastquake year, where the Seahawks made the playoffs winning the NFC West with like a losing record. I don't think it's going to be that bad this year, but 4-5, if you win, you're 5-5, you split the series with the 49ers, and honestly, you still have to play the Cardinals twice. You still have to play the Rams again. That is a good situation to be in if you want to have a chance to win the division. If not, you got no chance. Listen, from what I've seen from the Seahawks so far, our offensive line is horrible, and our GM doesn't like to pay guards a lot of money, and that's an issue, and there's kind of a split in the fan base of, like, should we tank or just rebuild the project under Mike McDonald or stick with it. And I think Geno is a good quarterback. He just doesn't get time. DK Metcalf, full participant in practice today. That's a good sign.
Yeah, that's big news.
He's been out for the past 3 weeks. He's our best wide receiver.
Yep.
That should be really good. Noah Fant, questionable. We've had some struggles with our tight end, some drops. For the Niners, George Kittle's questionable. That's big. He always plays well against the Seahawks. But I'm interested to hear your guys' opinions because as a Seahawks fan, I don't really think – I'm never positive now going into games against the 49ers. I mean, for my life – like, dude, for like 19 games, we were 16-3 against the 49ers. Now we've lost six in a row.
Ooh.
Like, I – and it when we played them earlier this season – I mean, they kind of dunked on us. Like, our defense didn't know what we were doing. And also, the last thing I'll add is, like, the past 2 weeks especially, the Seahawks have been horrible in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, horrible. Two turnovers.
That pick six.
Yeah, right? Like, two turnovers in the red zone. Like, they had so many opportunities. I forgot who they played before the Rams, but it was the Bills. Like, they could have stayed in that game really. Like, they had two opportunities to, like, score touchdowns in the first half in the red zone. Didn't do it. As you mentioned, the pick six, like, and this Seahawks team lost to the Giants. They also
inexcusable.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
No, they lost the Giants again. That was the game where it was the second game in a row where you had like what happened against the Lions too, where they played really well, and that's when they got their first loss and went downhill. Two DK Metcalf fumbles in a row that led to opponents scoring touchdowns in games where they lost by a single score. Like, it's just been a lot of stuff not going their way, and I don't really see that turning around.
Yeah,
this season.
Yeah, it's also a weird season for the Niners. Like, they were so injured to start off. And now Christian McCaffrey's back. Should have been the MVP last year, I fear.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah. They've had, like, a weird season where it's like they're not really great. But, like, because last season they were fantastic. It's a weird year. They've been hurt. The NFC West is still possible. But as you were saying, like, it's a weird division. The Cardinals are at the top right now. But they have a tough schedule. On paper, when they're fully healthy, they still have the best roster out of those four teams. So I got to take the Niners here. Seahawks, you were alluding to it, Griffin. They've also had kind of a weird year. I mean, losing to the Giants, it's pretty bad. So I got to say, it's a weird game. It's a weird vibe with this game, but yeah. I got to take the Niners here.
Yeah, I think when the Niners have a healthy roster, I think they have the best roster in the league. I think they just got so much Pro Bowl talent on that team. But, Geno and the Seahawks haven't really been doing too great the past six games. They lost five of their last six. He's thrown 11 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. A lot of that's probably been because of his offensive line, though, you know?
Yeah.
He gets forced into really, like, bad situations. He has to make a decision right away, and a lot of times ends up being an interception. But, I don't know. He's going to be happy he has DK back. Obviously, DK's an elite receiver, and I'm sure that Geno's going to have a much better game than he has been the past couple of weekends now.
Mm.
But I don't know if they can. I don't know if they can hang with the Niners, especially now that the Niners have C-Mac back, and also Purdy's been playing better than he has been now for the past like couple of weeks. So, I think the Niners are going to win this one, especially with Chris McCaffrey, even though he's probably not going to be fully back yet.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I don't know what the Seahawks are going to do from here. I think they're kind of like in a weird, like mediocre state where they're not bad by any means, but I don't think they're great either. So, like, it's a strange situation for them, and I do agree with you. It's kind of like a weird vibes game where it feels like anything can go either way, but I'm not too sure. I think I got the Niners winning this one, but if Seahawks win, I wouldn't be surprised.
It would be huge, obviously, a win on the road against your biggest rivals to keep the season like well and truly alive, regain some confidence. I'm going to go with the Seahawks just because I, out of principle,
right, yeah.
Like
yeah.
I have to go with the Seahawks. I think what they have to do is Christian McCaffrey's ran for 100 yards or more against us in the last four of his five career games against the Seahawks. You got to stop him from doing that, and I know that's hard. I mean, we bolstered our defensive line a little bit, drafting Byron Murphy, re-signed some guys. That has to be a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Wish we still had Bobby Wagner. I think corners got to lock in. But I hate losing to the 49ers, man. I can't do it. I need a Kenneth Walker like truck of Nick Bosa. I just gotta hope. Moving on now to a game that should not be at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It's probably, I mean, knowing like we mentioned the AFC North matchups,
always fun.
And it's the two best teams in the AFC North. It's the Baltimore Ravens against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And honestly, I'm not even going to preview this game that much. Let's just get into like start around. Let's do predictions first and then we'll talk about it. Grace, go first.
All right. I'm taking the Ravens. Lamar does have the worst quarterback rating of his career versus a single opponent against the Steelers. That could be just the fact that they're in the same division. They always play each other. He's having an MVP season, so I'm going to remove that from the equation. But the Steelers haven't yet played the Ravens with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry on the same offense. Obviously, we've seen both of them are having unbelievable seasons, extremely effective. I'm taking the Ravens.
I'm picking the Steelers, actually.
Wow. Let's go, Trey. Let's go.
I don't know. You know what? Their offense has been their big problem the last few years, and now they got Russ, and they got Mike Williams, and they look so much better now. I really do think that they're actually going to win this game. That Ravens defense is terrible. Like, they're going to get picked apart. I have a feeling this is going to be the game that Lamar has his first bad game of the season, and then, like, he's not throwing five interceptions like Jared Goff, but, you know, like, this is going to be the game I think he comes back down to earth. I got the Steelers winning this.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Trey. That's why I wanted this preview, because I wanted to see if anyone would say Steelers. I mean, Steelers, in my opinion, have the best defense in the league. They're dominant, and now that they have a competent quarterback, like, honestly, when they decided to pull Justin Fields, I was a little skeptical at first, but now I'm like, wow, yeah, definitely, because it really is showing that Russ was just maybe a victim of Sean Payton's system at Denver.
Yes.
And as a Seahawks fan, it warms my heart to see Russell Wilson doing well. I kind of have a soft spot and a little bit of a bias for him on that. But he's dishing it out. They got a solid like field general quarterback in Russell Wilson. They have the best defense. And I think you touched on it with the Ravens defense being poor. I think
worst passing defense, I think.
Yeah. And I think what it comes down to is the Ravens have the best offense in the league. Steelers, in my opinion, have the best defense in the league. So you rate those two defenses like a 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think the gap between the Ravens' defense and the Steelers' offense is a lot bigger than the gap between the Steelers' defense and the Ravens' offense. I think, honestly, I'd probably rate the Ravens' defense like a 5 out of 10. Probably rate the Steelers' offense like a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be enough. And I think if it's not high scoring, I don't know how the Ravens are going to, especially with the Steelers coming off. I mean, Ravens are coming off a really close game as well. But Steelers are coming off a close game where they just kind of were gritty and closed it out on the road as well. And I think that, I don't know, it's also in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, like, that's true. That's tough.
They have a great fan. Like,
terrible towel.
It's the first time these teams have played. I wouldn't be surprised if they split the series. But I'm going to pick the Steelers in the NFL Friday pick-up, and I think the Steelers are I think Steelers are poised for, honestly, I'm going to say it right now on the podcast just so we can clip it.
All right.
No one gets hurt, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are like the Chiefs' kryptonite in the AFC playoffs, because the Chiefs' offense does not look good. And
that's true.
And they've survived by playing gritty games and just finding ways to win. And I think you're not going to be able to do that against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I get the Chiefs will probably be playing at home, but I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised to see like a Steelers like Bills AFC championship or something like that. Because
I like that.
I think that would be amazing. Wouldn't that be amazing for the league?
So electric.
You know, I think we got to see how to handle this part of the season now. I checked out their schedule yesterday. I can't lie. Their first half schedule has been a cupcake schedule. Like, I need to see how they do against, because I don't think they played a single division game yet. We need to see how they do against this AFC gauntlet. But I do agree with that. I do agree with that take with the Chiefs. I think that the Chiefs kind of rely off dumb luck and they need to grit their way through the game. Steelers are the definition of gritty.
Yeah, I'm looking at their schedule right now, Trey. I think they got to win this game.
I think they got to win it,
too. They kind of got to win this game.
And the Browns, the Browns games, I think both should be wins. They got a short week. They play the Browns on Thursday night next week. Bengals could go either way. And then to end the year, you play at the Eagles. You play in Baltimore. You play at home against the Chiefs. And then you host the Bengals to close it out. Those are probably three of the best teams in the AFC and this one of the two best teams in the NFC.
Right.
If you can get through that, you know, sometimes they say, like, you'd rather warm up for, like, the playoffs with, like, harder competition. Maybe that could be good. But, yeah, I think you got to win this game because right now I think where they're at in their record, they're 7-2. But with the Bengals maybe rounding out the season, if they play well, who knows? Because if it all falls apart, like, with that hard of a schedule, you don't want to be staring. You don't want to be having the Bengals chasing you as you maybe fall to, like, what, 7-7, 7-6? If it all comes crumbling down, I don't want to see that, and I wouldn't wish that upon the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I think both agree, like, this game should be in prime time, and I'm going to be glued to the TV to watch this one.
Yeah, this being a 1 p.m. game is ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm so very glad that the Giants have the bye this week so that I can focus on actual interesting games such as this one at 1 p.m.
And the Seahawks, I might not even like red zone. Like I might just key in on this Ravens Steelers game. I think it's going to be that good. And then honestly, if you're a football fan this weekend, get your butt glued to the chair, like the couch, whatever. You got a sofa. Order a pizza and just like say, like, listen, I'm not doing anything. Get your homework done on Saturday night if you're a college student, or let's be real, get it done Monday morning.
Yep.
Because Sunday night, you got the Chiefs and the Bills. And these two teams, I mean, I think they're most people's besides the Ravens' best two teams in the AFC.
Yeah.
9-0 versus 8-2. I mean, the Chiefs are coming off of a near win over the Bo Nix led Broncos, but that's how the cookie crumbles, as they say. And then you got the Buffalo Bills. I mean, they've been playing very well. I mean, they beat the Colts. Allen's starting to get the turnover bug a little bit, but they had a good win against the Dolphins at home. Bills also got a hard schedule, but I think we should go around. Final game. Everyone just say your predictions, and then we'll talk about it.
I'm going to go with the Bills. I think this is the they've been giving the Chiefs, it's been so weird. They've been giving the Chiefs such troubles in the regular season. Then in the playoffs, it all comes apart at the seams. The Chiefs, they have this devil magic with them where they keep winning these games that they shouldn't win. They haven't been that amazing offensively like they have been in the past few years. It wasn't even supposed to be like a crazy year for the Bills. Like, they lost to Von Diggs. It's kind of like a, you know, see what happens year. But they're 8-2. I think this is the best opportunity for someone to break the Chiefs' undefeated season right now. Like, they're not going to finish undefeated, but you get my point.
I mean, please, no.
I hope. But Bills have beaten the Chiefs in their last three regular season matchups. I'm going to pick the Bills.
I think this is the Bills' best chance to end this Chiefs 9-0 run, too. But
yeah.
I just don't think the Chiefs are going to win. There's some, like, witchcraft going on here of how they get away with this every single week. Like, they haven't even, like, come remotely close to blowing out a team yet. It's insane. You cannot tell me this team is 9-0 and they barely beating like the Denver Broncos and stuff. You know, I think by the time they get to the playoffs, it's going to be really bad for them. But I have a feeling that, and you know what, that Chiefs got that amazing defense, and now Allen's starting to get that turnover bug a little bit. And if that continues, that's going to be really bad news against this amazing Chiefs defense. They have to limit his freestyle plays. They have to limit Josh Allen's freestyle plays. And I think if they do that, they win the game. But I don't know, Mahomes has been playing a bit better over the past few weeks. I have a feeling the Chiefs are going to it's going to be a super close game, and something really stupid is going to happen, and the Chiefs are going to somehow win the game at the end. I don't know. It's going to the team that's going to beat the Chiefs is going to be some like random really bad team.
They do not to interrupt you. They do play the Panthers next week.
For some reason, I'm thinking the Panthers are going to win that game. I don't know why.
That'd be crazy. I mean, this is definitely. I mean, the Bills, pointed out to me by our lovely producer Daniel, reminded me, Bills have been eliminated by the Chiefs in three out of the last four playoffs. Like, this is the team that stands in their way every year. And honestly, they could have, they probably might have a Super Bowl or two by now if it wasn't for this Kansas City Chiefs team.
Yeah.
I also want to say, I believe I said Sunday night, it's a 4 o'clock window game, which is.
What's the Sunday night game?
It's Bengals Chargers.
Oh my god, who wants to watch that?
No, who like NFL? I don't think you can flex until I think it's like week 13 or something like that.
No, flex already happened. Jaguars got flexed.
Okay, well that might have just been like an executive order to get Jaguars off of national television.
They put Minneapolis versus the Colts.
Yeah,
no one wants to watch that.
No, one of these games needs to be flexed to primetime, whether it's Steelers Ravens or Chiefs Bills. But for my prediction, I think I want to say the Chiefs. The Chiefs haven't looked good. Like, I think barely beating a Bo Nix-led team doesn't bode well for. Bo Nix, honestly, is.
It's not good.
Yeah. Bo Nix is Josh Allen if, like, they tried to clone Josh Allen and they
couldn't
just
throw the ball.
And they messed up.
Yeah, he's like Bizarro Josh Allen, basically. And I don't know. I think. The Bills have just become like such a well-oiled machine now that they've kind of dumped some of the egos, Stephon Diggs. But
it's fair.
Yeah, it's fair. And then like the Chiefs, they've been okay. Like Mahomes will find a way. Like it'll be close. But both teams have won close games. Both teams have been in close games against bad teams, like Bills against the Jets a couple weeks ago. And I think the Bills. I think the Bills are going to eke it out. I think it's the same thing with why I think the Steelers are going to win. I know the Chiefs, it's going to sound weird because we were just talking about the Chiefs like finding a way to win always, but I honestly think the Bills are a grittier team like this season than the Chiefs. And but I wouldn't be surprised, like Trey said, if the Chiefs find a way to win and it's like no matter what, there's going to be some call. Like it's going to be close.
It's going to be a call.
It's going to be close. Also, either team, if you have the like, go for two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's weird because it's like either way, it's like, if it's close, if you're the Chiefs, you can't give it to, you can't risk giving it to Josh Allen at home, in overtime. And if you're the Bills, you just can't give it to Patrick Mahomes in overtime.
No.
So, I'm hoping that's an exciting one. But that will wrap it up here on NFL Friday. It's been a lovely, lovely episode as we looked at the mid NFL season matchups. Huge thank you to my co-host Trey Rodriguez. And Grace McCarron. Shout out Daniel Malia behind the board. This has been a great one. Remember, NFL Friday is a production of WFUV Sports.